And welcome to What's Brewing, a show about anything and everything Bruins sports. I am your host, Mike Ricciolotto. And this is a solo mission today because Jake's on a boat and the other guys are off doing something somewhere else. It is just me tonight. So you're stuck with me. Tonight, gonna go quick. It's also gonna be a dry show because I don't have any of the boards. I just have I realize all the drops I've ever had. I had to clear them off a while ago. Luckily, I sent most of them to Jake. Years ago, so he has them, but they're all on his board anyway. No, get to the chopper. I'm not gonna be able to tell myself when to hurry up. No more, bro. But it's just me tonight. But you're listening to the What's Brewing Show on Twitter, Instagram, and on Threads. We are at What's Brewing Show. Email us if you need to rant about anything, talk about, your love life. We're here for that. whatsbrewingshow@gmail.com. Check out whatsbrewing.substack.com. Jake just put something out there about the academic rankings of the Big Ten and shows where UCLA comes out in all of that, so check that out. We are also on the YouTube, so search What's Brewing Show for that, and you can get your WBSN merch at mylocker.net/shops/whats-brewing. The WBN hotline, 805-399-4WBS. Tucker, enjoy. So, just really quickly, not a lot tonight, mostly because it's the back and forth banter. So tonight I'm just going to give you all the information, what's happening. And, just a few little headlines. I was able to interview London Jones about, of the UCLA women's basketball team. She talked to me about NIL, her new starting role and, just what it's like to play in the toughest conference in women's basketball. I also did a interview with UCLA baseball's head coach, John Savage. That was a fun interview. He really goes in depth about a coach's perspective of NIL, especially one that is not one of the revenue sports. He talked about the season outlook, especially with their depth in the with the number one recruiting class, and his thoughts on the Pac-12 going away, as it will be at the end of this year in just a few months now. What else we got? We have UCLA in ESPN's winter preseason rankings. Yes, these are always fun to see because he goes off of three, simple metrics. Here somewhere. I just had it somewhere. he factors in returning production, recent recruiting, and recent history. So for UCLA, returning production, that's about 51% on both sides, according to his analysis. Recruiting rankings, ESPN has them at 74th and 24/7 Sports, where we are, has them at, 59th, which is not that far off, not as low, but not great either. I believe right now UCLA is in the bottom two, I believe, in the recruiting rankings for the Big Ten. And as far as recent history, UCLA has won a minimum of 8 games the last three seasons. Hasn't been done in a while, which is one of the good things that happened in the Chip Kelly era. But with Chip Kelly gone and Deshaun Foster taking over, that's going to have a different outlook. They're still looking for roster spot, staff spots to fill. The biggest one is hiring an offensive coordinator. And as of Wednesday, as we put out on Bro, UCLA has interviewed Greg Olson. Might have been one of the favorites. Not so much now, it seems. It seems like they might be pivoting to Eric Bieniemy, which would be an interesting choice. He's a coach that is not working right now, but he has some familiarity with the NFL, with UCLA. So that would be an interesting hire if that goes through. But yeah, nothing's solidified yet. Even though it's been over a week since Deshaun was hired, there hasn't been any news about any new coaches or, there's scattered news about offers. But, nothing as far as transfers, thank God, transfers out. So he's holding the ship down for now, it seems, but there's still a long ways to go before spring football as well as the beginning of the new season. So a few other personnel notes. Ethan Young, the director of recruitment for UCLA, is apparently out at UCLA, and so is Sam Laz, head of digital media for UCLA football. Both have been on the job for the last 2 years, but I guess with the change in the regime, there's going to be other changes that are needed. So, Deshaun is really making this his own, and whatever direction he goes in, it will be interesting to see. We're gonna miss the booms from Ethan Young, but that's unfortunate. We're gonna have to figure out other booms, and big shout out also to Men of Westwood, who have been sending out their own booms too. I'll let them reveal what that means, but good on them. Good on the fan base for really stepping up and contributing to the Men of Westwood. If you want to help out the football team, the men's basketball team, the baseball team, think about donating to Men of Westwood NIL Collective. And for the women's basketball team, go to Champion of Westwood to donate to them. All good for NIL purposes. They even opened up the NIL store last week, where you can go specifically. And a friend of mine, reporter Tony Sircusa, said that this is actually what NIL is for, not pay to play here, which the NCAA needs to regulate, but actually having the players sell their own merchandise so that they can make money off of that. That was the original idea for NIL. So I hope it that continues to grow and it shifts towards a more less pay-to-play model, because that's really going to screw a lot of the smaller programs. But as for football, there's still a lot of energy, and it feels like, you wake up after, you have a good event, you have a child, you get married, you graduate, something good that happens in your life. A week later, you're still kind of, the buzz is kind of worn off a little bit, but not really, because it's still fresh in your mind. It's still something you have passion for, you love, and it just feels new, which is good, because that was needed. It just felt dull and dry prior to Chip Kelly leaving, and man, he's getting ridiculed in the but basically taking a demotion, and although is it a demotion when you actually step up in programs? Anyway, that's going to be interesting to see his trajectory at Ohio State now that he doesn't have to run everything and he just gets to do his fancy offensive schemes. Either way, I'm excited to see exactly where UCLA goes with their position coach searches, and I hope they get done fast. They have to get done fast. Deshaun Foster is handing out scholarship offers already, but he needs to bring in those specific coaches, quarterback coaches. I believe they still need a tight ends coach so that they can do that recruiting. Obviously, he wants to be the face and he wants to be out there, but he needs to delegate. He needs other people to be there. So hopefully he gets those positions filled and they can just, hit the ground running, especially heading into spring practice. So that's about it with football. Just really quickly with that, just wanted to give my thoughts. Not much has happened, but it's positive. So yeah, there's that. Basketball. Yes, we've had basketball, and my God, did we have two heartbreaking games. From the women's team and the men's team. Let's start off with the women's team. They were in the thick of it against Oregon State. At the time, UCLA was number 9 in the nation. Oregon State was number 11. And they were just going at it. About 2 minutes left in the game, probably less than that. The Bruins were up by 7. Defense was something left to be desired with that because it just kind of disappeared. The Oregon State Beavers just were relentless in getting to the basket, and I don't know if it was fatigue, I don't know if it was unawareness, but UCLA let Oregon State back in the game and eventually got stabbed in the heart, basically. it was an insane game. Oh my God, where to begin? As I said, UCLA was up by 7, and with, what was it, like 15 seconds left in the game, Oregon State takes the lead 74-72, I'm sorry, and UCLA takes it down the court. Angelo Duglich, UCLA's four spot forward, hits a three-pointer for UCLA to go up by 1, 75-74. And then Oregon State hits another jumper. So they go up 76-75 with 2 seconds left. Yeah. Guess what? UCLA inbounds the ball. Lauren Betts, mid-range jumper, hits it. 77-76 lead for the Bruins. Things are looking up. 1.1 left. It did seem like there was a few point seconds that were put onto it. But hey, that should have been enough to play defense on the other end and stop any potential shot. It should have. But Oregon State gets the ball in. And Talia von Ofhofen hits a three-pointer. No time left. Bruins lose 79-77. Heart freaking break. Like, you have no idea. I was about to cry. I don't think my my children might have heard me say sports are horrible, sports suck about 50 times that night. Although, shout out to Bosco Tech because I saw that game beforehand, and they are heading to the finals, the Division 3A finals out in Ontario against Alemany. So go Tigers, go, good on them. They were pretty excited because, you know, that was a pretty exciting game. I took my kids to that. And my daughters, who just started playing basketball this year, got to experience an incredible environment live. They've played basketball, but, you know, in middle school, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 people there tops. Nothing against it. It's just that it's not as popular as, let's say, high school or, you know, women's college basketball. Anyway, I digress. So we go home and we watch this game against Oregon State, and my daughter's right there yelling with me going, what are they doing? Why? What's happening? Oh, so yeah, it was pretty fun. And then I expected UCLA to just tear through Oregon, which they did, 74-55. Unfortunately, that wasn't enough to salvage any slippage in the AP poll, because UCLA is now number 12th in the nation, which still good. That is the first time they are outside the top 10 this year, but that happens when you lose 5 out of the last 11 games. It doesn't get any easier. A few weeks ago, on a Monday, UCLA played at Utah in Salt Lake City. They lost. They forced overtime, came back from being down 7 at the most, I think it was, and went into overtime and just could not put anything on the table. Utah ran away with it. Utah is at Pauley Pavilion on Thursday, February 22nd. Currently, the Utes are ranked 18th in the nation. Then on Sunday, Colorado meets up with UCLA at Pauley Pavilion. They are currently number 11, just one spot in front of the Bruins. This isn't getting easier. It's especially considering how UCLA has played in the last 6 weeks. These are must-win games if they want to try to win the conference, which should be the goal. As I said, either winning the conference or getting to the Final Four would be a success. This would make this season a success. They need to take down Stanford. They got whooped by Stanford, but at the same time, they were without several necessary players. But, you know, this it's not over yet. Nowhere near over. But it's really tough right now. Colorado and Utah in the same weekend? Sure, it's at home, but... Yeah, and this is the last homestand of the season as well. So, oh, I'm sorry. UCLA plays Colorado on Monday. So, yeah, Monday. So that's 5 days. So they do have time in between Utah and Colorado to kind of breathe. But they really need to get both of these wins. They cannot just get a split. If they want to show that they belong in the top 10 as well as a number one or two seed in the NCAA tournament, they need to beat these two teams. Both of these teams are very good and have some very, very productive players. But UCLA, they have to win. Next week, they are at Arizona State and at Arizona. Cool. That's fine. They can take them. They just destroyed both of them not too long ago. The Arizona game was a little closer, but they destroyed Arizona State. And going to their home, I don't think that'll be a problem. This is the weekend they need to take a stand. UCLA women's basketball in the past has had some really big games, even when they were underdogs. But they haven't been underdogs. They've been the favorites. They've been destroying ranked teams. In the non-conference, they were destroying ranked teams. I'm still in awe about all that. But it has to happen now. UCLA, Corey Close, needs to get these two wins to show that she is elite. This team is elite. Because they are. They have the talent. They just have to just come out swinging. Especially against Utah. That was a tough game. You have to prove that, you know, that, you know, maybe they ran out of gas at the end of that game, but they if that's the case, they need to come out, you know, and punch a bully in the mouth to start this game. And then there's Colorado. I think that one's going to be a little bit tougher game, but still. The point being is that if the time is now, you have to win these games. These are games that are going to define this program, especially if they get these two wins. That should rocket them back, I would say, even into the top five. You beat two top 25 teams, top 20 teams. But that's on the Bruins. It was unfortunate how the Oregon State game ended because they were in it. They easily could have won that game. They easily could have got a road sweep. But they didn't, and that's the thing. They have to do something to show that they belong, that they are now part of the elite, that they can hang with the Stanfords and LSUs and South Carolinas and be one of the toughest teams in the nation. If they do that this weekend, that will do wonders for them, and that will obviously boost their rankings and boost their seedings, which they want to get as... And at this point, it's not the fact that they aren't going to get a high seed, unless they continue losing, which I don't see, but it's just to show this is how far we've come. This is who we are. We deserve that number one seed. But they have to go out there and they have to just take down these last four teams, especially these last two in Pauley Pavilion. Two ranked teams. How freaking difficult is that situation? Yeah, so that's what's going on with the women's team. You know, just win. Just go out and win. Get those wins. They've beaten ranked teams before. Now they just got to string them together. And yeah, that'll do wonders. And that'll get some press back to them too. You know, we cover them every week because we love them. But yeah, unfortunately, when you lose, it kind of falls off. But you know, for the sake of the program, to get to have that attention, you know, two wins this weekend would be huge. Like, again, I would say they would be program defining wins. I said it. the men's team. They, why can't these UCLA teams beat Utah? Why? Yeah, exactly. UCLA had a, I wouldn't say a tough time against Colorado, but Colorado was pretty good. You know, a few guys disappeared, like Lazar Stefanovic kind of disappeared in that game. Luckily, Dylan Andrews has been stepping up, and he just continues to be play, you know, the highest level of basketball he's played. He just continues to develop. He continues to get better. So that game, yeah, it was a win. It was a good win. It was good for the guys to learn how to finish, to know how to, you know, when you're in front, stay in front and not blow a lead. Then you had the Utah game. And the Bruins, well, they didn't do too well because it was decent, but it was marred by a lot of weird activity in the first half. There was just a lot of physicality, pushing and shoving, technicals, you know. I thought I saw a dogfight in the corner. It was madness. Madness in every direction. Okay, not that last part, but it was a very physical game. And the officiating was suspect. I mean, Berke Buyuk-Tunchel in the second half was thrown to the floor and, you know, only a foul, not a flagrant. What was a flagrant is Sebastian Mack's elbow to the throat of, what was it, Carlson? I can't remember who it was. Either way, that could have been bad. That could have been, you know, really injured the player. But it was the act itself that was just kind of like, what are you doing, man? It's just despicable. Like, that kind of play should not happen. And Mick Cronin, I'm talking on a Wednesday night. Mick Cronin is going to talk to the media on Thursday, so we're going to get an answer on, you know, what has gone on with Sebastian Mack. But he was ejected. That was a flagrant too. Jake's going to hate this analogy, but you know, you could tell, kind of like targeting, that he leaned into, like, he had to go up to do that. Like, his elbows are not that high. There was intent there, it seems. My perspective. And you cannot do that. Especially since you're the leading scorer on this team. UCLA lost by one, which we'll get into. And Mack only scored 4 points, which he averages 13. That could have been a key to beating this team. But a senseless act like that put UCLA, the men's team, behind the eight ball against Utah. And then Mick Cronin was called for a technical by asking the officials just to look up to review a play. Utah's coach got a technical. It was just crazy. It was bizarre. Oh yeah, and shout out to the Bruins who were there watching the game. Tony Parker, Jalen Clark, David Singleton, they were there. Amari Bailey, I believe. That was cool to see. What wasn't cool to see is that UCLA just kind of fell apart in the last 6 seconds. And a quick shout out to Gavin Carlson of the Daily Bruin, who pointed out that that men's game against Utah and the women's game against Oregon State were very similar in the way they ended. Both Bruin teams had a lead. The opponent made a basket. UCLA comes back and make another basket. Potential game winners, and then the opponent scores again, and nothing can be done about it. In the men's case, Kiba Keita of the Utes made a layup to have the Utes go up 68-67. Dylan Andrews, with 6.6 seconds left, drains a jumper, which puts UCLA up 69-68. Pauley Pavilion is going crazy. It's chaos once again. Anarchy is in the stands. And then Mick Cronin calls timeout. He wanted to set up his defense. Cool. The bad thing is that the defense did not do its job, and Brandon Carlson made a layup. Utes go up 70-69. Quiet. Silence. There's still 0.2 seconds left, but UCLA has to go the length of the court to try to not only catch it, but shoot it. And that wasn't the case because I didn't see who it was because I was behind a crowd of cheerleaders and security on the floor and, front row patrons. I didn't see who it was, but on Utah's team, he just basically needed to knuckle that ball out of the way and buzzer. Done. UCLA's six-game win streak is over. They lost for the second time in 11 games, which isn't bad, but it's not great considering UCLA started off horribly in the season and the last, prior to the Utah game, the last 10 games, they not only got wins, except for the one against Arizona, but that could have gone UCLA's way as well. The thing about that game is that they didn't finish, but they are learning to finish. It's just, it seemed like it was going to catch up to them sooner or later because it still is a young team. But then again, think about it. They're only a knuckleball away, a lucky shot at the end of the quarter, at the end of the game, of winning 9 out of 10, winning 7 in a row. That would have really helped them out in all of the rankings. And they, a few of the rankings, the net, the ones that I follow, the net, the RPI, and the CBS sports poll, they all have UCLA moving up, and they still had UCLA moving up, albeit slightly, this week. The thing is, UCLA is not out of, they're not completely out. Let's say that even if it's favorable, they win out the rest of this, the regular season, which I think is six games. The Bruins would not possibly make the NCAA tournament on the regular season alone. I think they would have to. I think there's a small chance if they do that. But they definitely need to, if that's not the case, and they're still well behind in the KenPom and the RPI and the net, the only thing left is to win the tournament championship, which I have to see them against Arizona to think that they can do it. But UCLA has shown that it can, other than Utah, can hang with most of the teams in the conference. And they're just going to have to do that. They're going to have to find a way in these last remaining weeks of the season to get those wins. To stay hungry, to stay energized, to not be tired, to finish the season and get a good standing in the tournament. If that doesn't happen, then, I think they will give it a bold try. Pending we don't have any more flying elbows. If this team can stay healthy, can stay intact, I think it does have a decent shot of making the NCAA tournament, but that's right now it's an outside chance. UCLA played as good as Utah in that game. It just came down to a lucky few bounces. And that's how close UCLA is, which is pretty impressive considering where they were. So yeah, we got a big weekend of basketball. Jake's on a boat somewhere drinking the Hennessy. Bill's off in a volleyball tournament, probably in Toledo. And Jamal is, Comic-Con, something out there. You guys got Comic-Con? Message me, Jamal. Anyway, thank you all for joining me tonight. I did want to put something out this week because I wanted to keep it consistent. Wanted to keep you up to date. I didn't want to have to talk about things 2 weeks in a row. Not that I wouldn't, but on a week-to-week basis, there's just so much news. And next week when I get rejoined with Jake, we're going to have this upcoming weekend to talk about. So you know, I just wanted to put stuff out there, let you know what's going on for those that can't see the games in its entirety. Just, you know, just brief overview. But I do miss having the Jake and the Bill and Jamal because we can't go back and forth with this stuff. Anyway, everyone, you have a good night. Godspeed.